Thank you, Madison. You do, don't you? No, it's not easy. No, it doesn't come in a day or a week or a year. It's in a lifetime. But knowing the secret of contentment is knowing Christ. And when we know Christ in the way that Paul describes him, and in this song that we've just sung, we have come to know the secret of contentment in any and all circumstances. Contentment, how do I learn it? Oops. Through companionship, someone to love in the body of Christ. By knowing my purpose, something to do that's important. The most important thing in my life is to promote Christ and to show Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It is to know our destiny, some place to go, and it is knowing and experiencing our unity in Christ that we have achieved by the power of Christ. And it is coming to know intimacy. Someone, and that one, of course, is Jesus, that we come to know intimately, and He gives us power to perfect our lives. And now the last, peace, something to have. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things, the things you have learned, received, and heard and seen in me. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. In this last lesson, peace, something to have, I want to divide it into these categories. Live in harmony, pray thankfully, think on good things, and then go to work. Let's take each in their time. Live in harmony. I think it is important that Paul is in prison and he writes to those, his friends in Philippi, with whom he shared a spiritual intimacy in preaching of the gospel. And he says, therefore, my beloved brethren. He speaks with affection in an encouraging way. Brethren, that's important. When we need to practice and cultivate our speech, that it is cloaked, that is permeated with affection, and with encouragement. Often we fall into the culture of our age, which is criticize, criticize, criticize. Find everything that we don't like. I'll never forget, several years ago, approximately 8, it was decided in our place that we would move to another location for evangelistic purposes. And so we bought a lot and we built a building in Sugar Land, Texas. We had formerly met a short distance away in Houston, Texas, just across the city line. You wouldn't know you were going from one to the other unless they put up a sign. But we did that. And of course, we're a number of 100 plus people, and everybody's got their opinion as to the way a building ought to be built, what color the carpet ought to be, what color the walls will be, how many rooms, what are the lighting, what's the overall house, how do the seats fit, you know, and how do they feel when I sit in them. Well, we ultimately didn't split over all those things, but we got those decisions made, and the building was built. And one of the ladies who majored in interior design came, and she was one of our members, and she walked through, and I was with her, and it had just been finished, but we hadn't met in it for the first time yet. And she said, well, I don't like that, and I don't like the colors, and I don't like that, and I don't like that, and I don't like that, and I don't like that. My memory, she didn't tell me one thing she liked. I just thought, I didn't say anything back. You'd been proud of me. I kept my mouth shut. But I decided I was going to get up before the church and make a request. We were still meeting in a schoolhouse. Our last meeting, and the next meeting would be in the new facility. And so I prepared my remarks and I got up and said this. We have just finished the building and we'll be meeting at it next Sunday. If you don't mind, unless it is something that can be redone that is very important, we're not interested in what you don't like. If you find something that you do like, why don't you tell our elders? It went very positively the next Sunday. It would have done no good. Well, I don't like the color of the carpet. We're not going to change the carpet. Just put in. We're not going to repaint the walls. We're not going to tear down classrooms and build others. It's done. It's time to move on. It's time to go to work. And Paul said, beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown. Brethren, do the other brethren here know how much you love them? If not, tell them. Find ways to express it. That you appreciate them. You're smaller in number than you've ever been, at least in your current memory. That's the way it is. So let's build. Let's build from that. And building does not necessarily mean all of a sudden you're going to swell to 100, 200, 300 people, but you can grow within yourselves. Each and every person can be a joy and the crown, can be beloved brethren. I've tried to cultivate the art of giving praise and appropriate commendation to my brethren. I wasn't very good at it in my youth. I just didn't grow up that way. But here Paul demonstrates the right approach, speaking with affection and encouragement. But note, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. We don't know who these two sisters were. Any idea is just speculation. But in some way, they weren't in harmony with one another, apparently. And Paul decides that strife among two affects peace of all. I don't care how large you are or how small you are. Of course, the smaller you are, the more ripple effect that two people who are not getting along have on a group. What was Paul's remedy? Well, he called it out. Indeed, true companion, and we don't know who that is, this Clement, he's lost to history too. I ask you also to help these women. Folks, when we have two of our brothers or sisters who are not getting along, the rest of us got to help them get along. Make sure they understand how important it is that we deal with one another peacefully and in harmony. Now, folks, being in a local congregation does not mean that everybody's going to see everything alike. But we can deal in peace with one another because we've all been saved by the blood of Christ. And every one of us is a Christian in exactly the same way because we're sinners, we were ashamed of it, we repented of it, and we gave our life to Christ. And here, one of the remedies is you help these women to resolve whatever is troubling them and causing them to be in disharmony. Help these women. And note, maybe remind them who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. You know, if you believe your name is in the book of life and you believe also your brothers and sisters, their name is in the book of life, it's an extra incentive to fix whatever needs fixing. And almost inevitably, it can be done if there's the right attitude on both parts. And then pray thankfully. What dominates your prayers? What kind of request? Lord, I need this and this and this, and help me with this and help me with this, and I need this. And oh, and by the way, lest I forget, I need this other thing too. Or, Lord, I just want to stop to thank you for all you've done for me. And Lord, you've done this and this and this. And Lord, I look at your world, and there's so much beauty in it. I'm amazed. Do you take the time in your prayers to pray thankfully to the Lord of all that he's done for you and is doing for you and will be doing for you? He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Rejoice. Express your joy to the Lord for being a Christian, coming to know the gospel. And then he says, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. What is a gentle spirit that we are to let everyone see? Well, you say it's not contentious. But what is a contentious spirit? What is a spirit that just enjoys arguing and strife and maybe thinking we're going to win the argument or we're going to have the upper hand or it's going to be done my way or I'm going to demand that others serve me and do this for me? That's not a gentle spirit. A gentle spirit is willing and able and enjoys serving others, doing it their way, finding something that helps them, and enjoys filling those gaps. That's what he's talking about. So there can be rejoicing in the Lord always, because all of us are emulating this gentle spirit that it's known to all men. The Lord is near. Wouldn't it be nice that in every assembly of the Lord's people, they are known in the community? You know, I disagree maybe with some of the things that they believe, but I'll tell you, that's the most gentle group of people I've ever met. You go over there and they'll just do anything for you. They seem to enjoy you. They want you to be in their midst, and you're just fun people to be around. Those are Christians. Those are people that here Paul says to you Philippians, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Why? The Lord is near. He's always near. He's with us. He provides. Just look at Jesus. Jesus only became sharp in debate with those who were evil in their motives. And he did that for the benefit not only of them, but of the audience that was listening to him. The danger that these false teachers posed. But not everybody's like that. And so we say, let's cultivate the gentle spirit. And then be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Put it into my words, don't worry about anything, but give thanks for everything. Don't worry, sinfully worry about anything, but thank God for everything. And therefore, let your requests be made known to God. Remember what we're advised to do. He says you don't have because you don't ask in your prayer life. So let's ask. Yes, let's begin thankfully to the Lord. But then let's ask him for the things that depend on him. Often we think, well, the Lord is just tired of listening to my request. Do parents who love their kids ever get tired of their kids when they earnestly appeal to them for what they need? If they ever, they may not be able to give it, to grant it, but they never get tired of hearing it. One of the reasons they don't, especially in the Lord's case, is because when we ask him, it acknowledges we believe he can give it. He's the source. He has the power. We believe in him. We have trust in him. So let your requests be made known to God. And so this will undergird and solidify our contentment, because we are trusting in a Father who will care for us and provide for us. And then the last phrase, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Guard against what? Worry, sinful worry, discontentment. All kinds of evil can creep into our hearts. The devil is one of the names for the devil is he is the accuser of the brethren. The accuser. He plants seeds of doubt in our minds that God is there. He's not really there. Or if he is, he can't do anything about it. Or if he can do something about it, he doesn't care to do anything about it. All of that is sin, will promote sinful worry. And the peace of God, which surpasses above all comprehension. We can't fully comprehend the goodness and greatness of God. That will guard our hearts. And then think on good things. Finally, brethren, whatever is, note the highlighted words. Things that are true, things that are honorable, right, pure, lovely, good repute, excellence, worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Now, How do you do that? You're likely going to have to edit your TV watching. Likely. What do you think? Every TV show going to put your mind on these kinds of things? And I struggle with it too because I love good movies. I love good acting, good drama, good romantic novel, romantic presentations, good comedy. I love all that. But some of the shows are not going to cause me to think on true things, honorable things, right things, pure things, lovely things, etc. We're going to have to edit that. And you might even have to edit the conversations you have with some of your workmates and some of the neighbors and some of the friends. You might have to direct the conversation away from things that tend to come up seemingly from this person again and again and again. And they may not like it and may choose to talk to other people about those seamy or maybe those nasty things. But we want our minds to be on these kinds of things, true things, honorable things, things of worthy of praise, lovely things. It's mind control. Be careful of what you devote yourself to read. This was illustrated in a class I took. I was studying Greek at the local university in Houston. And the teacher, he was a good Greek teacher, I thought. I wasn't an excellent student, but he was a good teacher. And he said, the room was filled with people who were interested in religion. And he said, fellas, how many books have been written in the history of the world that are open for us to read? Well, I don't know. I can't remember the number. He seemed to know it. It was in the millions or billions of books that have been written. How many books can you read in a lifetime? Well, it's significantly smaller than the number of books that are available. What's the message? Choose well. Choose wisely what you decide to read. You know, I have never regretted reading the Bible. I've never had to repent about something I read in the Bible. I've never regretted or felt ashamed about something that I read in the Bible or something about the Bible. Is there a message there? Surely. Contentment can be monitored, can be enhanced by what we give our minds to think about. And sometimes it's just a force of will. I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to dwell on that. I'm going to dwell on this. And then go to work. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. I want to see the hands of the people who think of themselves as young. Nobody? Well, we got one. We got two. Got three. Only three young people in the crowd? Okay, we got four. We got five. Any others? We got five going six. Anybody give me six, 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 seven, seven, six? All right, to you five or six people, brave people that raised your hand. Do you know older people that can serve as your mentors? Think about it. When I decided to preach, now admittedly, I wasn't a real young person. I was 31. Had already been in business for a number of years. I have an accounting degree. That's what I majored in college. Can you believe it? I don't even like to balance my checkbook anymore. But at any rate, that's what I studied. And I got a job in public accounting, worked with a large international CPA firm. And then later I went into the garbage hauling business. Yep. And we built up a business and then sold it. And then I wanted to go do something I really wanted to do, and preaching was the only thing I could think of. So at any rate, I decided that I would go there. But one of the reasons that I made the decision that I did, and also what I began to do, I went and cultivated friendships with older men and women that I could go to and discuss things, not only about the Bible, but about myself, issues that I was having or questions or whatever. I don't see a lot of that being done anymore. Now, maybe it is, but I recommend it. Select men and women that you look up to and let them serve as guides, as counselors to you. A person with whom you could sit down and just talk about any and everything. Now, if it's going to happen, likely you're going to have to take the initiate it. You're going to have to take the first step. There are not many older people that are going to come up to you and say, okay, I'm going to be your mentor. It isn't going to happen. And you don't have to use those words. You don't have to make it a formal situation. You can just call up Dave and just say, Dave, can I come over? I want to talk with you. And I'm not necessarily recommending him, though I would recommend him. I use him that way. And Marge the same. I have always had older people in my life. Guess what? They're almost all dead. And I miss them. But it's time, and it has been time for a number of years, for me to look and to be a part of maybe passing that on to younger people. Very important to be able to have an association of mentors and advisors who help you to see things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Pick out people that you see are living the Christian life. And let them help you. Now, for all of you that they come to, for all of you, now let me see the hands of the older people. I'll raise my hand. All right. All right, older people, we got to be real. They come to me, when I started doing camp work and I got all these little boys, and we were talking about some of the problems that boys, as they turn into men, go through puberty and all that, they discover girls and that girls' bodies are enticing and to them, et cetera. And we're talking about that and how to maintain the right spirit. Mr. John, did you struggle with that? What am I going to say? Oh, no, son. You know, I handled that just perfectly. I did. Tell them the truth. Now, you don't need to give them the gory details of everything you ever did that was sinful and shameful. That isn't, in my judgment, that isn't appropriate. But let them know you understand what they're going through. And ladies, the same way. Be real. Be truthful. Be helpful. Because you didn't do it all right either. And often we learned our biggest and most important lessons through failure. And so, what you see in me that is according to what Christ would have emulate, what you don't, of course, do not emulate. And then the next phrase I want to highlight, practice these things. Go to work. What was the sin of the one talent man? He was lazy. Didn't do anything. What are you going to do with these six lessons, seven lessons on contentment? Is it over now? I'm just about going to say about 10 more words and it's going to be it. Is it over? Or are you going to start practicing them? If you don't, you wasted your time. Practice these things. In order to learn contentment, we have to practice, and we will fail. And then we pick up and we try again. And we keep going. And what will be the result? And the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. Bob, it's time to ring it in. With this is the first thing Bob reminded me. He said, all I can remember is a line from this song that I taught you many years ago. No me, my only hope is you, Jesus, my only hope is you. From early in the morning till late at night, my only hope is you. From early in the morning till late at night, my only peace is you. My only joy is you, Jesus. My only joy is you. From early in the morning till late at night, my only joy is you. All that I need is you, Jesus. All that I need is you. From early in the morning till late at night, all that I need is you. Thank you so much for your attention through all of these lessons. Some of these lessons, I would imagine, as you and I was preparing, I said, this is going to be hard to pay attention. Often, especially the first one of today, you know, when you start drilling down into all those terms as to what they would mean, you may have struggled, you know, kind of say, ooh, what's the point? Go back and read it. Think about it. Think some more about it. Pray about it. It will unveil and open up to us riches that we have not known. Thank you so much for receiving me so warmly, affectionately. You have a special place in my heart. And in the future, in any way I can be of service, it would be an honor to do so. And it won't be long. We're going to get to be in heaven together. And I can only just begin to imagine what that's going to be like. But a lot of it's going to be based on what we're doing now, things we're sharing in it, what we're building within our spirit, what we care about, what we love. God has been so good to me. I have been able to do what I would have done for nothing. And actually, there have been people who gave me money to do what I do for nothing. Now, if you don't mind, don't tell the brethren back home. They're still paying me a little bit. But I just feel so fortunate that I was led ultimately into a work that I can just absolutely throw myself into with reckless abandon and enjoy it. But you're a part of that. Without your hearing, there is no speaking. There's no point in it. So may God go in with grace and with blessing to your lives. And I'll be interested to know in the coming future in your life. If you're not a Christian, why don't you decide to be one? Even if you're not certain about that, keep thinking about that. Ask others to help you to see what God would have you to think and to do. If you'd like to be a Christian or in any way bring something to the attention of this assembly, why don't you stand and sing and let's have our invitation song.